From the studios of WNAA-FM-HD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WNAA-FM-HD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I have with me today...
Dr. Funderburk, you know who is with you.
Mm-hmm, who is with me?
Yo man, Keith Funderburk.
That's right.
Yo boy, yo baby's daddy. And so, don't forget it.
I didn't forget. Did you think I forgot?
Look, brothers, every now and then, you got to remind the wife.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't forget.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
I can't forget that. You're right. The only one.
Hey, well, that was a twin.
So my goodness.
It's a buy one.
Get one free.
Get one free.
I told you about that free stuff.
That is. Mm-hmm. So, Kevin, he was free.
That's his late twin brother.
That's right. Okay, Dr. Funderburk, I want you to think. You know, I give you a name every week.
Right.
But this particular week, man, I have been excited about this particular show.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, because
that
means
you've been thinking about this for a while.
Oh yeah. You know, because I've been thinking about a speaker, or I guess person for the day.
Oh yes, I can't wait to get
to
her.
The whole topic and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But today,
mm-hmm,
I want you to call me Brother Soul Glow.
Oh my gosh, I knew you were going to say that.
But you got to say it the right way.
How do you say it?
Soul. That's right. Brother Soul Glow.
Oh my goodness.
If I could
just see, like, if you had longer hair, I could see you just flinging it right now.
Look at it. I'm flinging it right now.
Juices and berries flying.
That's all I put in my hair, Dr. Funderburk.
Okay, whatever.
Juices and berries.
Whatever, sir.
Ain't nothing that's in there.
Whatever,
sir. Ain't got
sir.
No conch up in there.
Oh, my goodness.
Any of that kind of stuff?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Y'all know nothing about that.
Y'all, we've got to move forward here, y'all, because we have with us today someone who really is going to hopefully help us with our little soul glow.
That is.
We have with us today Professor of Dermatology at Wake Forest University School of Medicine, Dr. Amy McMichael. She also practices dermatology in Winston-Salem and some in High Point as well. And y'all, she is the one to know. She is the one to talk to if you have dermatological issues or skin issues, or specifically if you've got black hair and black hair issues.
So she's a sister.
She's a sister.
There it is. That's all you got to say.
She is. So, Dr. McMichael, welcome to the show. How you living?
Oh, thank you so much. I enjoy listening to the Funderburks and their banter. That was very fun. I am doing very well and happy to be here.
We're so glad you're here because, you know, when our hair is not right, it just does something to us. And you are an African-American female who has hair. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot of hair, too, y'all. Mm-hmm. And we just want to make sure, you know, nobody wants their hair to not look good. And sometimes there are things that happen and we don't know what's going on. And we just want to take the best care of our hair that we can, because we couldn't always take care of our hair.
I think that's
mm-hmm, a huge part of why we have such love and esteem in taking care of our hair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you have thoughts on that, Dr. McMichael?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I think we have to talk about is the fact that black hair has its own history, particularly for women, you know, for mm-hmm, men as well, but particularly for women. You know, you can take it all the way back to Africa,
okay,
you know, where hair was, you know, hopefully symbolizing your importance, your knowledge, you know, what you presented to the world in terms of your hair, you know, before we were brought to this country, mm-hmm, was important. So it had that importance even before we had to slam into slavery and all of that sort of flow, you know, things that happened in our history. So so there was already that importance of hair then, you know, and I can't presume to know, you know, how that is culturally experienced, you know, in by African people, because I have not lived in Africa. But what I can say is that once we came to this country, and we were not necessarily allowed to really care for our hair, there were certain cultural things that became necessary to do. Well, what do we have available to us? Well, we had fat back, we had oils from the animals, maybe some plant stuff that we could do use. But in general, we didn't have people sort of standing around helping us take care of our hair. Was you know, was wrapped up, you know, to get out of the way while we were doing the work for others. And then, you know, once we sort of brought it up to where, you know, we had Madam C.J. Walker, you know, then it became important to use straightening products to look more European, have the hair be sort of straightened and curled and sort of more conforming to what was thought to be the idea of beauty in the society at large. And I think, you know, the, you know, we've had revolutions, several, you know, about Black is Beautiful in the 70s, where, you know, Afros were, you know, our way to speak out and say, listen, we have, you know, beautiful hair. Let's wear it naturally. Of course, not everybody, you know, joins in on those revolutions. There are, you know, some people who stick to, you know, what they feel most comfortable with. And I think that what we have now, you know, just bringing it up to where we are now, we have actual laws in place to allow people to wear their hair in natural styles. And the fact that we have to have a law like that is just
speaks volumes.
Yes, doesn't it? But I think that at the same time, we're in a place where now Black women can choose how they want to wear their hair. If they want to wear their hair in a natural style, in a braided style, in a straightened style, in a short style, you know, all of those things are becoming more and more acceptable in the larger society. And I think that's really where we need to be. Whether we have to have laws to do it or not, that's right, where we need to be. And we have to have products that help us do that.
Well, let me ask this question, Dr. McMichael. Of course, now, back in the day, I remember, you know, my mom and my aunties growing up, and as I was growing up, my mom would be in there with that hot iron. Man, on the stove.
Straightening comb.
And man, that's what it was. It was a straightening comb.
Yes.
Now, can women still use that kind of thing today?
You know, absolutely. And I'll tell you when that becomes important is because, you know, say you want to wear your hair naturally for the most part. You want to wear your hair in braids at times. You want to wear it out. You want to wear it in twists. You want to wear it in locks. I mean, you can do all that. But what if you want to straighten your hair and you don't want to use a chemical product or formaldehyde containing products, you know, that will straighten the outside of the hair shaft, then you can actually do straightening. You can, you know, certainly do that. Now, a lot of times people will sort of, you know, more so use a flat iron. You know, we have better tools now because then you don't have to use all that grease. But there are times and there are people who are professionals at straightening people's hair, and they can do a really good job. I don't recommend it's something that you just try at home for the first time without some training, because it can be dangerous. Those things are hot. You know, if you don't have a special little oven for the comb, you can certainly have varying temperatures using it on the stove. But that was really what people did, you know, many years ago, and I'm sure that there are many people who still do it today. But hopefully we are moving towards, you know, having our stylists trained to do, you know, things that are much more healthy for our hair, you know, all the condition that we need for people with very tightly curled, coiled hair is important. And, you know, you can do all these straightening kinds of things, but you have to condition the hair for them before you do it.
Yeah. So when you are, if someone decides to, you know, have natural hair, but do heat straightening, when the irons are too hot, is that what sometimes will make it such that the curl doesn't come back?
You know, I think probably it is damage that does it. And so it could be that the hot irons are hot. It could also be the repetitive, you know, damage to the cuticle. So, you know, there's an outer line cover over each hair shaft that's called the cuticle, just like we have cuticles around our nails, but this is one that this like a covering over the entire hair shaft around the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And as Black women or Black people, we have a flattened hair, you know, so it coils and it's flat. It's not a perfectly round circle.
Oh, gotcha.
So this cuticle is not really, it's not exactly the same thickness on all sides. And so when you're straightening that cuticle and you're using too much heat, you may damage the cuticle. It's like, if think of it like shingles on a roof, that little shingles that fit together and they cover the whole hair shaft down all the way to the end. Mm. And if you mess up that cuticle, there is absolutely no way to repair it.
Wow.
So once the damage has occurred, you can, you know, trim the hair, you can coat it so that it doesn't break as much. But once it's damaged, it's damaged. And chemicals can do it, heat can do it, and certainly a combination of those as well as color can do it.
Wow.
So when I see people with damaged hair, I always tell them, let's think of one of these things that we can put away. Let's either take the color out, because the color actually pokes holes in the outside of the cuticle to get into the inside of the hair shaft to color it.
Mm-hmm.
The more color you use, the more damage you do. And certainly chemical relaxers are probably the biggest of the damaging products. Mm. But use color a lot more frequently, use heat a lot more frequently. So they end up kind of, you know, being very similar. So you got to give something up if you have damaged hair.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, we would prefer not to give anything up. So, you know, hey, if you don't like gray, then color your hair, use a demi or semi-permanent color because those are less damaging. And then you can maybe do some straightening. But if your hair, excuse me, is very damaged, you might need to give up, you know, a lot of things for a while. Mm. And that's hard. It's hard. Yeah. It's a hard pill to swallow, but it's really important to know that then you can come back, you know, start fresh, and you can get your hair back into some good shape.
I tell you, see, this is why you listen to How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg, and man, my girl, she is dropping it, y'all.
Lots of knowledge.
Lots of knowledge. Okay, now, for the brothers, when we're talking about, of course, our facial hair, and we've got, you know, we get these bumps, you know, sometimes under our, of course, in the shave, when we're shaving, even sometimes I see a lot of brothers, you know, on the scalp, they've got these bumps. You know, what can we do to take care of our face when we may have minimal bumps or, you know, or no bumps?
Yes, yes. So, you know, what you're talking about there, we have a fancy name for it called pseudofolliculitis barbae. And we like to use a lot of Greek and Latin words, you know, in medicine.
I know.
But it's really, you know, definitely exactly what you say, razor bumps. And that comes because, again, there is a tightly coiled hair follicle that you're shaving over, and it causes the hairs to dip back down into the hair follicle and kind of poke their way back up through a new hole, or inflammation because it's coiling under the skin. And interestingly, about 15 years ago, a dermatologist who was taking care of a bunch of men in the army who had this did a study and found out that there is actually a genetic mechanism that causes that. So not everybody has it.
Wow.
But more Black men than white men have it. And so in order to minimize the changes, what we recommend is a very sharp, very nice razor, like well made, not the little disposable ones you use one and throw it away after one use, but better made razors, because those razors actually, you know, you spend a little extra money, but they're made better and the metal is better, and you get a closer shave. Softening the hair prior to shaving, not too much, you know, a lot of men like to shave in the shower, and that's okay. Sometimes that makes it a little too soft, but you can use a nice, specifically sensitive for men of color shaving cream. Shave and then sort of the aftercare. And we did a couple of studies, and it was amazing how just giving people really well put together pre-shave and post-shave and a nice razor just improved their skin tremendously.
Wow.
Now, yeah. Sometimes, though, you do have to, especially if it's on the neck, on the neck. Most men don't want a neck beard,
right,
they don't really care about that. So you can do laser actually on men in the neck area. So we do that sometimes to get rid of those bumps there. And men who don't want to have hair all over their cheeks, like they might just want a beard, a little beard and a little mustache, we can do the cheeks and laser those as well. So there's a lot of good ways to take care of male faces. And also male scalps. Now, on the scalp, we're not doing too much laser hair removal because, of course, people want to keep their hair.
Right.
But sometimes we do need to do some anti-inflammatory treatments, either anti-inflammatory shampoos, like anti-dandruff shampoos, or sometimes prescription medications, either by mouth, like an antibiotic for a short course, or a topical antibiotic even, to get those little bumps down. And those are usually in the posterior scalp, and sometimes they can be all over the head. So like back of the neck, you'll see men with little bumps, or sometimes they'll be scars or even keloids sometimes. We have a fancy name for that called acne keloidalis. And that really, sometimes you have to get in there and actually do some injections to flatten them and that sort of thing. So, it can be anything from just caring for the hair well. You know, people don't, they think they cause it by cutting their hair with dirty clippers or something, but it's not that. Again, it's, you know, something that, you know, is kind of genetics. Mm-hmm. We don't have the specific genetics of that one, but genetics and the coiled hair. And we just need to know how to treat it, and we can get it to really look much nicer and be less painful and irritated for those men that have it.
Wow. Okay, so for both ladies, I want to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Dr. Fenner, I'm going to go to you first. Mm-hmm. When it comes to our culture, mm-hmm. For black hair, you know, and again, women, as we talked earlier, you know, it's the crown. It's like them. It's their identity for some people.
Yeah.
But how does that sometimes, if they may lose hair through alopecia, mm-hmm. or it might be something else totally different, mm-hmm. how does the role of black hair play mm-hmm. in our whole self-expression and this whole identity, mm-hmm. Especially, I guess, from a mental health perspective? Then, of course, we'll get Dr. McMichael in a second.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, our hair plays a big part in our identity, especially our cultural identity and how we are just going to express ourselves. Dr. McMichael already mentioned how there are laws out there that say we can wear our natural hair and you can't fire us for it already, or those laws are out there now. So we can express whatever we want to express, you know, and still be deemed professional, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think that was huge when that, and what we're talking about is the Crown Act. When the Crown Act came into being, it almost, you know, legitimized that my natural hair is not okay if it's neat, or okay if it, you know, if it fits whatever the corporate background or corporate corporate environment.
Expectation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's not just that. You can come in as you are, as you would normally groom yourself, and be okay. So it really says, you know, this is how my hair grows out of my head, mm-hmm. and I love that, and that's okay, and it's mm-hmm. beautiful. It's beautiful enough to be shown. It's beautiful enough to be shown the way it is. And, you know, I really, you know, I love all things hair. If I in high school, I wanted to go to, you know, some cosmetology classes and do, you know, see what I could learn just to do my own hair. And I remember, you know, a part of that was I just wanted to be able to really express well the pride that I had for what was on my head. You know, I wanted to know how to do it. I wanted to know how to do it well. So, and I don't think I'm really that much different than other people. I know everybody doesn't want to go to cosmetology school, but I'm not that different in the sense that people want their hair to look nice. Mm-hmm. And people want to appreciate their own hair, and they would like for others to appreciate it too and not downgrade it. So that identity is huge. And so when you look at the flip side, either when we can't express it, or when we can't express or allow our hair to be in its natural state, or someone tells us once it is in its natural state that, that, you know, I just don't like those kinks, or as someone who I'm not going to name in my family would say, those kinks. I don't like those kinks.
Oh, Dr. Funderburg.
But, and I know everybody doesn't. And so there's no, you know, shade there if you prefer a straightened look. That's the part about it. That's the great part about it. Mm-hmm. The identity piece is, you know, I can choose to wear it straight or I can choose not to wear it straight. But that's my choice there. Right. Okay. When we can't straighten it, when we can't do it the way we would choose to do it, or meaning like when our hair is not hairing, or even worse, when our hair is falling out,
right.
whether it's drug induced or whether it's stress induced or whether it's just, you know, thinning of hair as some would might age, it may, you know, not do the things that it used to do. And that's maybe something we can get Dr. McMichael to talk on.
Oh,
it plays a huge part on just how you feel about your hair. I think that's why some women who are going through chemo treatments will just go ahead and shave all the hair off at once,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to see it falling out in patches.
It
gives you more control, mm-hmm. which decreases anxiety in that sense.
So what do you think about that, Dr. McMichael?
Well, I think that what Dr. Funderburg said is exactly right. And I see, of course, the extension of that when you lose your hair. And we have a couple of things that we see more commonly in women of African descent. There's one called traction alopecia, where you lose the hair in the frontal hairline. There's another one called central centrifugal cicatricial alopecia, or CCCA, where you lose the hair on the crown, and it can really be quite extensive. These also can be irritated and itchy. These are two of the most common things that we see in women of color. We have already shown that the CCCA is genetics and probably an environmental component. And traction is probably genetics. We're trying to show that now. And also an environmental component of sort of hair pulling over time.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that. But the part of it that is so impressive is that people do not feel like themselves when their hair is gone.
Yes.
So they're presenting someone different to the world, and they not feel comfortable in their own skin because their hair is gone. And so when they come to me in my hair clinic, they're tearful. Mm-hmm. They are depressed.
Mm-hmm.
They are worried. They mm-hmm. they don't want to show anyone. They're shamed. Mm-hmm. They don't show anyone. People a lot of times don't even know that other people in their family have the same thing because those people are covering it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they don't even share it with their own family members. Mm-hmm. Some people's husbands have no idea that their right. wife has hair loss. And, you know, it takes a toll because even if you're at work and you have a wig on or you have a hairpiece on or you have a style that covers it, you're always worried about, is someone seeing this? Am mm-hmm. I still looking okay? And it eats away at your self-esteem, basically. And you just feel uncomfortable around yourself all the time. You mm-hmm. can't put your best foot forward. You can't interact with people and be the person that you want to be because you're always worried that you're not going to be good enough, that your hair is something's wrong with your hair. And that means there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to deal with when we see these patients. You know, I definitely am not a psychologist or psychiatrist, but, you know, you have to be partly that to, you know, help people get over the fact that, okay, we got that, but let's see what we can do to help.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we can help people and really make a difference with growth, depending on how early they get in, how able they are to follow the care plan that we lay out. But, you know, sometimes it's too late and we have to talk to people about, hey, how about hair transplantation? And for many years, you know, people of color didn't think that that was for them. But you know what? It can be.
Wow.
You know, it has to be the right person, the right time. Obviously, it has to be budgetarily, you know, appropriate. But, you know, women are thinking about all kinds of different things. Women and men of color are now able to afford lots of different things. And they want to come to the dermatologist and they want to see about their hair loss. And they want people to help them feel more like themselves.
Mm-hmm. Wow. See, this is just, I tell you, Dr. McMichael, again, he's over there at Wake Forest University. Again, she is a professor of dermatology.
The School of Medicine.
In the School of Medicine. Mm-hmm. So, man, she knows what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. We ain't talking about somebody that's in the kitchen, you know, kitchen. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, that's right. So,
I just got it.
But she is experienced. She knows what she's talking about. But we do want to make sure folks are taking care of their hair and their scalp and what have you. Dr. Funderburk, I want you to close us out in this mental health minute. You know, again, as Dr. McMichael was talking, I can just see so many people that are going in and they're getting treatment after treatment. I remember my own mother 2 years ago, when I might have been a little long, maybe about 3 years ago.
During COVID, middle of COVID.
Yeah, middle of COVID. And then my mom, she had to get cancer treatment. And then with the cancer treatment and the medicine, her hair did begin to fall out. Mm-hmm. And so, but she elected not to do shaving it, because actually she didn't lose all of her hair. It wasn't an aggressive treatment. But still, for whatever reason, you know, a woman's hair is just so important. Mm-hmm. Help those that, you know, is there two or three things that they can do to help their self-esteem as they go through this journey, be it medically, be it, you know, it can be a variety of reasons why they may not have the hair that they want.
I think the biggest piece there, as I kind of close this out here, because I know we're getting close to time here. I think the biggest thing is that the shame that Dr. McMichael mentioned, the shame, I really wish it wasn't there. I do get why people might feel shame just because it's so very different than what they're used to for themselves. What I'd like to add in with that, though, is the shame can only live in the dark. So when it's hidden, when things are hidden, when those very, very close, trusted family members don't even know that there are hair loss issues, that's when the shame can grow like fungus. You know, you think about, where does fungus grow the best? In dark places, right? So that's where the shame grows the fastest and just mushrooms. So we've got to expose it to the light, meaning connect with professionals, because what I heard Dr. McMichael say is that there can be treatment. And even when the hair follicle is gone and there's nothing that you can do as far as getting your natural hair to grow back, there are some of those transplant.
Yeah. Yes.
Transplant issues, transplant situations that could be effective for you. So my bottom line is, don't let the shame hold you in the dark. Expose it to the light so that it can start to shrink away. You're not alone. There are, if you were, Dr. McMichael and nor myself would have jobs, because that would mean nobody would need us. You're not alone in this. So make sure that you're reaching out to professionals. So, you know, you all, the time always elapses so fast, especially when we're talking to good people like this. So if you have any comments or questions, make sure that you're messaging us at WNAAcommunity@gmail.com. And as always, y'all, please join us again. We love it when you join us on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests, and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.